striving to encourage one another in Bible study. We have our Bible classes on Sunday morning, a midweek Bible study. We have area-wide gospel meetings, and we may even have our seminars or weekend studies, workshops of various sorts. So it seems like there's always an admonition or an encouragement for us to study our Bibles, and that's what this lesson is kind of designed to do, is to keep encouraging us to hopefully do what we're already doing. And hopefully, of course, I've titled this one Profitable Bible Study. Not only encourage you to study the Bible, but also give you some helpful hints on how it can be perhaps more productive. The verse we use in the introduction is 2 Timothy 3, and I quoted, put the whole verse even in your notes. It says, but you must continue. There's some words. You must and continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from you whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, truly furnished, or equipped for every good work. So since we're talking about profitable Bible study, by definition for profitable, we mean if we want to study the Bible in a way that's profitable or in a way that is gainful or payback, we're going to study our Bible in a way that we can get some return from it, profit, or to our advantage, to make our Bible study beneficial, rewarding, useful, or worthwhile. You can add to those words to make it profitable. And then again, just for a little other added phrase, we live and abide by the New Testament message, but however the Old Testament has value, significance. Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So we certainly don't ignore Old Testament Bible study or Bible reading. Written for our learning that we, so the Old Testament, then even in the writing itself or the text itself, he says, we, the Old Testament, but we, us, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, after he spent 10 verses reviewing some of the history of the Israelites, he says, he concludes, these things happened to them as examples written for our admonition. So here we have the reference of the Old Testament, but it's for us, or for we, and for our. So if we're going to read the Bible, we want it certainly to be profitable. And certainly the Scriptures are profitable. That was 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. So I put a couple things to think about as we're studying. Number one, make it a priority. A priority. You determine the times. You determine even the length of time that you're going to involve yourself in Bible study. But if Bible study is going to be profitable, it's going to have to require some priority. Give it some first place. You know, even though Jesus says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's priority. You know, when he mentions in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, you'll set your affections on things above. You know, seek those things that are above. So if our Bible study is going to be profitable, it's going to have to take some priority in your life and mine. It ought to have priority. When it's not given priority, then we lose that profitability. It's gone. Second, personal. Make it personal. It's good to have our Bible study in classes, in a class situation, or worship, gospel meetings, things like that. But still, don't ignore a personal Bible study. And again, you set the times. Sometimes I've heard over the years, being a preacher, they'll say, "Oh, Brian, you believe what you believe because you were raised in the church." And I'll say yes and no. Yes, I believe what I believe because I was raised in church and what Mom and Dad taught me, all my Bible class teachers, and I remember them well. It doesn't take but a moment just to think about my youth, and I can get a picture of my Bible class teachers back in Muskegon, Michigan in a moment. Even I don't have to close my eyes. I'm just saying this right now. I just a picture of them flashes in my eyes. I remember, I believe what I do because of what other people have taught me, even family. But no, I don't believe what I believe merely because others have taught me. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, it says, "Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good." When people ask me a question about why do you believe what you believe, I've had to prove my faith. I can't just sit and think, "Oh, I believe what I believe because Dad told me," even though Dad was right. Or what Mom taught me, or my Bible class teachers. In my proving what they have taught, it hasn't changed anything about my faith and what I believe. So people say, "Oh, you believe what you believe because you were raised in the church." Well, yes, but no. I've searched the scriptures. I've confirmed my faith. The things that I believe, I've been assured of, not just because someone has told me these things, but because I've looked them up. So make your Bible study personal. You study. And the Bible message is directed to the individual. The message is given so that I can see myself in the pages. And not necessarily see everybody else when you're reading. I want to see me in the text. So that's one thing. Make it personal. Or to be productive or profitable. Number three is prayerful. That should almost be a given. All the Bible admonitions to pray all the time and pray without ceasing, and we pray before so many other things in our life, before we travel or get in the car or maybe important decisions or maybe in our assembly. We mentioned that in our sermon this morning, how many times we pray just in that 1 hour worship assembly. And we answer people's requests for prayer. We certainly are a people of prayer. Well, now I'm just making this admonition: pray before you study. God, help me understand the reading. Open my heart or tune my life to the things that I read. But whatever you want to say in that prayer, God, as I begin the reading of your word, these things are on my mind. So make that personal too with your prayer. In your Bible study. Make your Bible study with purpose. Purposeful. Not just a mental exercise. Don't just take the Bible and open it up. Okay, this is what I'll read today. You've got to develop a plan of some kind. You may want to read through an entire book, or you may want to do a character study, or a certain topic in the Bible, baptism, or look up the word salvation in the concordance, and I'm going to read all these verses that do with salvation. But I'm going to read with a purpose. Understanding. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4. Let me put that one in your notes either. In Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. A man certainly lives by bread. We have to eat. But not by bread alone. Well, that's what he's saying. But then he says, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I want to read with a purpose because the message concerns my soul. A purpose. Read with that in mind. Number five, practical. Some I've heard people say over the years, the Bible is one of the most practical books that have ever been written. It meets the needs of mankind, right where we are, where we live, attitudes and actions. And I saw this in a church bulletin many, many years ago, and I just cut it out and put it in one of my file folders. It says, that the characters in the Bible are men and women just like those of us today. It's a mistake to think that the characters in the Bible are as unusual people. They have the same weaknesses and frailties that characterize people today. The paths that led them to the ruin of the wicked recorded in the Bible will lead to the same consequences today. We follow that path. The principles that made the characters of the Bible strong will produce the same strength of character today. The heading of practical. The problems the Bible characters faced are also the problems of men and women in our century, 21st century. The solution that Bible characters found for their problems are the solution for our problems today. Human nature has not changed. Man's needs are the same today as they've ever been. Sin brings the same consequences today as it did in the past. Righteousness is still despised by the devil in the world, but it still has its rewards for those who practice it as it has been in the past. So make the Bible practical. Yes, I can put this to good use, this section of reading. Or this text that I have, I can make that application. Well, that helps me in my relationship with family or friends. Or this text helps me in my workplace. Yeah. So make it practical. James chapter 1, beginning of verse 21. The Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity or excessiveness of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. So you make it practical. Put it into practice. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. We don't want just to be as great a blessing as it is to be a hearer of the word and to hear God's word read to us or preached to us. Oh, put it into practice. And we say walk the talk. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. Beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridles not his tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Bible is being practical. And if your Bible study is to be profitable, the truths of the pages of the Bible have to become our actions. The truths become actions. Put it to work. The last one I have is ponder. Ponder. And the verses are there, but let me just read the one in its entirety in Proverbs 4, verse 23, beginning of verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to thy right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So ponder the path of thy feet. And then in Psalm 1 verse 2, that's the one I put in your notes? No, I have one on my notes. Psalm 1 verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So ponder the word of God. And it's profitable for you and for me. So here's some things to just kind of think about. Hopefully, not to encourage us to be Bible students, but also I want you to see the benefits of Bible study. That it's useful to practice all these things, but make it a priority and personal and prayerful and with purpose and practical. Put it into the service and then chew on it. Ponder the Word of God. Always when we assemble on the evening assembly after the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, and we sing this song to give you time, or those who are here, time to reflect on their life. There may be something that you just want to ask about. I need strength, or I need forgiveness, or I want to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sins. You simply need to let that request known. So we sing this song to give you time to respond if that's your desire or if that's your resolve. Stand together. You need to, if that's your resolve, to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me at the close of the song.